Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavily on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liquor, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Welcome to NBA Today, presented by ESPN Bet.
Coming up on NBA Today, it was a weekend of epic comebacks for the Mavericks and for the Clippers. But the question is, who actually lands on Perk's lists of the biggest threats in the West? Plus, have Giannis and the Bucks, they stopped competing? Huh, what's going on in Milwaukee? We discuss. And Caitlin Clark closed the book on an all-time college career. Our queen, Shanae Agumake, reveals what's in store for the scoring champ when she hits the WNBA. NBA Today starts right now. Welcome to NBA Today, presented by ESPN Bet. I'm Malika Andrews. There is only 1 week left in the regular season. That means there's 1 week to see which teams can eclipse one another. You see what we did there in the standings. There's plenty of superstars, right, that are helping their team to hit their stride, especially in a crowded Western Conference, because Luka Doncic, Kyrie Irving, and the Mavericks, they are the hottest team in the NBA right now. They have rattled off 5 straight wins. They are taking 13 of their last 15 games. And then you got LeBron and the Lakers clicking on all cylinders as well. They've gone 9-2 since St. Patrick's Day, and they boast the West's best offensive record since February 1st. But they can't get much separation right from Steph Curry and the Warriors. They are surging right behind them. They can take things, which makes shaping up for a very interesting showdown tomorrow across the street. The East, though, right, is a little bit of a different story, and no team knows that better than the Milwaukee Bucks. So let's head to Milwaukee with the New York Knicks in town here, Ramona Shelburne. The Knicks, remember, they are shorthanded. Milwaukee coming off a tough week with losses to the Grizzlies, to the Wizards. So you would think that this is a game against Jalen Brunson, who is not to be taken lightly if they want to get back. They led by as many as 11 in this one.
But this is only the 8th time that the big three, Chris Middleton, Dame Lillard, Giannis Antetokounmpo, have started a game since Doc Rivers has taken over as head coach. Only the 8th time they've played together.
And Chris Middleton didn't finish the game. He left with a mouth issue after he got fell on, essentially, by Isaiah Hartenstein.
Emergency trip to the dentist just sounds horrible.
Yeah, it's cool. Not much fun, but Jalen Brunson playing like this is a lot of fun for basketball fans.
This is what he's been doing all year long. It's why he's going to be a top 5 vote getter in the MVP race this year, and it's why they came back in this game.
Going ahead to the 4th quarter here, remember I said the Bucks led by as many as 11, and now it's the New York Knicks that continue to push their double-digit lead. Jalen Brunson can't quite get that one to go. Isaiah Hartenstein tipping it into the center. Back out. Here come the Nova Knicks.
I mean, they just never quit, and they all play like 43 minutes a game every night. I don't know how long they keep this up, but they're doing it right now.
They're certainly a fun story. So with 1:10 left, out go the starters, in come the subs, and Doc Rivers, none too happy after this one.
No, you need a win. You need something to go your way. I've been through it, but this team is too talented, in my opinion, to go through this. You know, no matter who's been in and out, every team has guys out. And so I got to figure that out.
So the Bucks' final 4 games will now come against teams in the top 3 of their conference, right? Take a look at that. That includes an all-important pair of games against the Magic, who are just 1 game back of the Milwaukee Bucks. So welcoming in our resident big man, Kendrick Perkins. Perk, if you are the rest of the East right now, do you still take Milwaukee seriously as a contender?
Oh, me? You asking me that?
Yes, do I'm asking you. If you are the rest of the East.
No, and the word is out that they're soft and they're front runners. Look, the Milwaukee Bucks, when you think about, you know, what they did, just forget the games that they lost previous, right, to the Wizards, to the Raptors, to the Grizzlies.
Right.
Right, this was a time you're at home, you're going against the Knicks, and all of a sudden you come out and you come with the right mindset, the right energy, and then you punch the Knicks in the mouth. Well, all of a sudden, when the Knicks and Big Body Brunson started to fight back, they folded like clean sheets. And so when I look at the Milwaukee Bucks, Doc said something last week about the professionalism. The professionalism is actually competing. This team doesn't compete, and that's alarming. When you're talking about a veteran group and you look at the core of this group that they've been there in multiple playoff series together, won a championship, when you think about Giannis, Brook Lopez, Bobby Portis, and Chris Middleton, and when you're talking about just competing, not X's and O's, but just closing out to shooters, boxing out, keeping the New York Knicks off the offensive glass. They gave up 13 offensive rebounds last night. The Milwaukee Bucks are the true definition of front runners, and that's the word on the streets.
Well, you used another word, Perk, that caught my attention. It's the S word that you can say on TV, soft. I mean, that's quite a statement to make about a team that's won a championship, to make about
championship in the last, 3 years.
Right, that has a former MVP on that team who is going to get some votes
two-time
this year,
right,
too, as well. But I can't really disagree with you in the sense that they don't have a stopper. They do not have a defensive stopper. And when you don't have that point of attack stopper, that's Jrue Holiday. That could be Grayson Allen was even better at that than what they have right now. That's why they had to go get Pat Beverly, just to give them some competitiveness. And they just flat out don't have that. And so the thing that made them great, their defense, the backline defense with Giannis and Brook Lopez, they can't be great if you're not stopping anybody up front.
Right.
Offensively, they're not great because they still have not figured out how to play together. And some of that, I think, is just injuries. People have never, like I said it before, 8 games the Big Three have played together.
Sure.
8. That's it. With Doc Rivers. You can't get any kind of consistency going, but it's just not an excuse anymore. Like, you don't talk about guys who are out. The Knicks have everybody out right now, and they're still competing because they have an identity, and they are not what the S word Perks just said on TV.
Right. If you're a Milwaukee Bucks fan, right, the silver lining is that because they've played less than 10 games together as a core group under Doc Rivers, you get that 5-6 days between the end of the regular season and their first round matchup, where really for the first time since the All-Star break, these guys get to come together, they get to sit down,
I agree with you.
They get to hash out some hard discussions. So they're still a team that's
I agree. I'm not out on them because they went out and got Damian Lillard for these next 2 months. That's why they got him. Mm-hmm. You know, we talk about Dame time at the end of games. No, Dame time is the 2 months starting now.
Right.
Because in the playoffs, when Giannis gets going downhill, they build a wall. Opponents build a wall with Giannis in the playoffs, and he needs someone else who can score. Well, the Bucks are 17-3 when Damian Lillard scores 30 points.
Right.
If you can get Damian Lillard going, which is what you went out and traded Jrue Holiday for, which is why you had to have him on your team, this is his time now. And the way you get him going is by playing with pace and getting that pick and roll between him and Giannis going.
Right. Go ahead, Big Perk.
No, and Ramona is right, but this comes back to the point of Giannis sacrificing. Like, I'm going to keep harping on this. Giannis has to embrace that center position. Mm. Right now, that drop coverage with Brook Lopez defensively is not helping the Milwaukee Bucks at all. But offensively and defensively, if Giannis would buy into that defensive role of playing the center position, move Bobby Portis to the four position, offensively now you have more pick and roll action, which means that Dame is going to have the ball in his hand a lot more, being the playmaker and being a guy that's going to be able to facilitate and get buckets. Now the Milwaukee Bucks are at their best. But if Giannis doesn't come to the forefront and sacrifice first, like, instead of showing the world that he actually got a bag, then they're going to be in trouble.
Can we look at those standings, though? The Bucks right there, 2. Oh, do they care that much if they fall to 3?
Well, it's all about the Celtics factor, right? The last time we saw a team have a 15-game lead between the number 1 and 2 seed was the 70s. And so it's really about the Celtics factor and who you sort of want to avoid. But that's enough skepticism for a Monday morning, right? Let's get to a team that's been looking incredible, the 76ers, culminating right in Tyrese Maxey and Victor Wembanyama playing some of the best basketball that we have really seen all year here. I want to pick this up with 9 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. The Spurs up 86-79 at this point. Victor Wembanyama relocates, takes it, knocks down the three.
How is a man that big able to shoot that well from outside?
That's what the rest of the league is asking right now. And then Tyrese Maxey just attacking. Remember, no Joel Embiid in this one. It really was no problem.
And Victor was there. Maxey. He's driving in, and Victor is standing right there.
I mean, what a pass, the volleyball touch there from Victor Wembanyama.
The volleyball water polo.
For Champagne for the clutch three. But then, just when you think it's over, 2 seconds left to play here. Tyrese Maxey sprinting to the hoop, gets that one to go. Remember, he runs almost 3 miles a game, the most in the NBA, ties it all up at 111.
He runs quick, too. I mean, you knew that play. You knew they were going to get the ball to him, and he's just so fast, you can't stop him.
So to overtime we go. A minute and a half left in overtime. The 76ers down 118-117.
Off
Tyrese Maxey on the move.
That touch.
And then look at this passing once again from Victor. His court vision is so beyond his years.
He does see over the top of everything.
But then here come the 76ers. Once again, tie game at 121. So why not? Let's go to double overtime because that's always fun. Watch this, though. Victor hunting, pins it.
Oh.
Initially, this is called a goaltend because no one is supposed to actually be able to block a shot like that.
I mean, that play had everything. It's out on the perimeter. He's going to beat the big man off the block, but Victor can recover so well. Oh, my God.
They had to take another look at it. And in fact, he did get the block in that one. It's just Batum saying, sacre bleu, how do you do this? The 76ers, though, they do hold on to get the win. Maxey had 52 points, 7 assists, 5 rebounds. Wemby, 33, 18, and 7 blocks. But the 76ers are now the first team in NBA history to have multiple players with at least 3 50-point games in a season, with Maxey joining Joel Embiid in hitting that mark, which is just ridiculous. And it has me asking, Kendrick, to you, the Philadelphia 76ers, with the Bucks struggling the way they have been, with the New York Knicks not healthy, they are the what best team to you? The first, the second, the third best team in the Eastern Conference? Where do they fall?
I'm going to go with the third best team if we're living in the moment.
Behind?
Right? And I got them actually behind the Milwaukee Bucks, the New York Knicks with OG Anunoby back, and the Philadelphia 76ers. And when
Wait. So that means you have them, if you have them behind those three teams, then you have them fourth.
Yeah.
You have the Celtics.
Yeah.
Okay, so you have them the fourth best team. Okay.
No. I'm sorry. Let me correct this.
Okay.
I got them third. I have them behind the Boston Celtics.
Yep.
I have them behind the New York Knicks.
Okay.
And then it's the Philadelphia 76ers.
Okay. So ahead of the Bucks.
So
All right.
I have them third. Yeah. Yeah, ahead of the Bucks. Yeah, yeah. I thought I said that.
It's all right.
Tripped,
we all need another cup of coffee today.
Order.
He just looked at the eclipse too long.
But here's the thing, right? When it comes down to duos and the emergence of Tyrese Maxey and the way that the East is wide open, this team is doing wonders right now. And this young man has took a tremendous leap far as his game, not just scoring the ball, but making guys around him better. I love the position that Nick Nurse has this team in, the position that he put the players in. I mean, you get a 75% Joel Embiid, I could see this team being out in the second round, which is not a bad thing for the Philadelphia 76ers.
I mean, I'm just looking at those matchups.
Mm.
If you're the Bucks, you want to see Philly or Miami in the first round if they get the 7 seed?
No. You want to see Miami. You want to see Miami.
I'm just looking at the 6th and 7th seed can avoid the Boston Celtics until the conference finals.
That's
so
right.
If you told me that the Philadelphia 76ers end up in the Eastern Conference Finals, I would say, bet. I believe you, because they are playing that well right now. All right, we got a lot to get to on NBA today. As players and teams continue to jockey for playoff positioning, the Timberwolves, they took care of the Lakers last night. So would the return of Karl-Anthony Towns make them the top dog in the conference? We debate coming up. Plus, the Mavs, they just ended the Rockets season with a stunner. But was it enough to make Big Perk's big list of the top 5 biggest threats to Denver in the West? Ramona, how did you do it?
Bam!
All right, then Caitlin Clark just wrapped up a historic college career. She will continue to dominate at the pro level. Chinne Agumike joins us next.
Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavily on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liquor, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
NBA Today is presented by ESPN Bet, the official sports book of ESPN.
You have an undefeated South Carolina team looking for redemption and an Iowa team led by a star unlike any we have ever seen. You could not have scripted a better ending to this magical season.
Clark, oh my, from the future, she has the most ever in a championship game quarter. Johnson picks the pocket of Clark. What a momentum buster to end the half.
This year's South Carolina team has multiple consistent, efficient weapons.
Perfection with a touch of sweet redemption. Undefeated South Carolina has won its third national championship. And Caitlin Clark says goodbye to college basketball.
All I have to say is the revenge story is over.
Congratulations to Dawn Staley, Camilla Cardoso, the South Carolina Gamecocks, just the 10th women's team to complete an undefeated NCAA season, which is incredibly rare. But Ramona, almost as rare as that is the eclipse that we are seeing today. And in Cleveland, where the women's Final Four took place, you can see just a couple of moments ago, a total eclipse. Just pretty awesome. We got to take a look at it here in Los Angeles as well.
I was like driving in. Don't look.
I don't know how Shanae Agumake broke off a couple of minutes to be able to speak with us after all of the work that she's been doing, crushing the women's coverage. Shanae, thank you so much for beaming into NBA Today, and we love your shirt. Oh, there she is.
Oh, thank you, sis. Do you like my glasses?
Yes,
I caught a little bit of the eclipse.
Yeah, we did too out here in Los Angeles, although it wasn't a total eclipse. But Sinead, this is Dawn Staley's third
now I can see you.
National title. See, there we go. Cardoso, right, is headed to the WNBA top five, right, in ESPN's mock draft. And South Carolina opened up already as favorites to win it again in 2025 on ESPN Bet. So Sinead, has Dawn Staley built the next real women's hoops dynasty here?
Dawn Staley absolutely has built a dynasty, and what she has done is so impressive. If we're going to talk about specifically this team, they returned no starters, and they went, by the way, to the WNBA, so she really develops pros. And then also, they got better. They got transfers. Their only weakness last season was perimeter shooting. They just casually brought in the best perimeter shooter, best three-point percentage shooter, and that woman right there, Tahina Pow-Pow. But even bigger picture, Dawn Staley is one of one. A lot of people have been introduced to the game of women's college basketball over the last 2 years based off of the heroics of people like Dawn and Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese. But the truth of the matter is her resume is unblemished. Look at this right here. She has won three national titles as a head coach. But let's talk about her as a player. Yep. Three Olympic gold medalists.
Yep.
She actually is a six-time WNBA All-Star and a two-time National Player of the Year. Put respect and give her her flowers.
And not to mention she's the first black woman when you look at the list of undefeated national champions as well, Ramona.
You know, when I think about all the great women's basketball teams of the past, like there's some great UConn teams that were perfect.
Yep.
There's a Tennessee team in 97-98. But I think this has got to be up there because, as Shanae is saying, they didn't return anyone from that team. Like,
yeah.
This was the revenge tour, but
right.
it's not exactly everyone who was out there last year getting revenge. I mean, it was – and I think that was so impressive watching this game. Like, they were just too big, too much. They just came in waves. I mean, 51-29, they win the rebounding battle. 48 points in the paint. I mean, they just kept coming at them, and they wore Iowa down. And I think what's amazing to me about watching Dawn and how she's built this program is just how much she attracts players. Like, people want to play for her.
Right.
Like, people are coming in the transfer portal wanting to play for her. I don't know if we got another UConn-Tennessee thing going. I don't know if it's USC maybe out here on the West Coast.
Sure,
Juju Watkins is going to be here for a while. But the fact that we have this much parity and a program that can do it year in and year out with – I mean, like, Aaliyah Boston is in the WNBA. She was number one pick.
Right.
She was, and how do you go back to back after losing somebody of that caliber?
And even taking a step back, right, yeah. for a second and looking at what Chiney's shirt says, which is so true, this really felt like a moment in time for women's basketball. And so many incredible athletes,
well, Chiney mentioned. I'm gonna paint a picture.
Right.
I was at a kid's birthday party. It was a five-year-old kid's birthday party. And I have the ESPN app on my phone.
Right.
And I pulled it out because I had to watch the game. And people were coming around and be like, hey, what's the score?
Right.
Exactly. Like, people are coming over to me to, like, look at the game on my phone.
And so many women have contributed. So many incredible athletes have contributed in order to get to this point where Caitlin Clark really could take that torch and run with it. And I just thought that Dawn Staley really summed it up perfectly with Caitlin's impact with our Holly Rowe.
I want to personally thank Caitlin Clark for lifting up our sport. She carried a heavy load for our sport, and it just is not going to stop here on the collegiate tour. But when she is the number one pick in the WNBA draft, she's gonna lift that league up as well. So Caitlin Clark, if you're out there, you are one of the GOATs of our games, and we appreciate you.
Anytime somebody like Coach Staley is able to recognize you and what you did for the game is pretty special. And obviously she's somebody I, you know, respect so much. I respect what she's done for South Carolina. I respect what she did as a player for our game. And, you know, anytime you can get the praises of her is pretty special. So it means a lot.
So LeBron James, he weighed in during the title game. He posted this: if you don't rock with Caitlin Clark's game, you are just a flat-out hater. So stay far away from them people, please. And Clark's college resume, it really is untouchable. And there's always, right, a transition when you talk about taking the next step to the pros. It's a conversation that you would have with any prospect. And another two-time player of the year, Diana Taurasi, has some experience about what Clark is in store for at the next level.
Reality is coming. You know, there's levels to this thing, and that's just life. We all went through it, and you see it on the NBA side, and you're going to see it on this side, where, you know, you look superhuman playing against 18-year-olds, but you're going to come with some grown women that have been playing professional basketball for a long time.
So I don't even think Diana meant that Chiney as shade, but you know better than I do. You know this firsthand. You were a number one pick. You know all of the pressures that come with that and that transition. What are your expectations for Clark at the next level?
Look, I think she's going to show up and show out as she always has done. I think that was DT just being DT. Right. She hazes everybody.
Yes.
And this is one thing. In the WNBA, all rookies can get it. Vets just love to see a rookie and say, I'm going to really come at you. But Caitlin has the game to back it up. I expect her to thrive at the next level. She's not only a great shooter, she's a great facilitator. So she has options with her game. And I'm just excited for her to bring that viewership and that mentality, that competitive fire, those fans to the next level as well.
I don't even care if it was shade. In fact, I hope it was shade, because that's fun. Like, sometimes we're afraid of having negative talk, right? Or afraid of having some controversy. No, this is the real world, right? Where vets like Diana Taurasi haze rookies. Like, that's what Kobe used to do to every rookie who came in the room.
Right.
Okay, to anybody.
You heard the story that Kelsey Plum told over the weekend, where Diana Taurasi was talking nice to her, and then boom. So this
welcome
is just
to
part
the league.
Of it.
And I'm telling you, I think she's gonna, like, there's a lot of people who are kind of hazing her, and it'll be fun to watch that transition.
I am excited to see the transitions. But Ramona, what was it that LL Cool J said?
Oh,
don't call it a comeback.
That's my era. You know I know that song.
The Clips and Mavs, they pulled off incredible comebacks last night.
We got a shadow box.
Biggest threats to the defending champ. Sure, we can shadow box in the break. And Ramona, who you got? Purdue or UConn? Well, hold on to your answer. We're going to tell you the three players whose NBA draft stock could be affected tonight. Plus, Perk, I hope you got your eclipse glasses ready for this afternoon, because we're going to tell you which teams could get eclipsed with less than a week left in the regular season. NBA Today, we'll be right back.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash!
shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season.
Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You're watching NBA Today, presented by ESPN Bet.
The 10 teams in the West, they're set, but every seed is actually up for grabs, which is crazy. So let's catch you up with a little bit of coast to coast. The Clippers is where we're going to start. They held on to the fourth seed. That's thanks to a massive second half from Paul George, who scored 27 of his 39 points after the break to lead a 26-point comeback against the Cavaliers. Kendrick Perkins, what did you learn about the Clippers in this one?
The best win of the season for the Los Angeles Clippers. Oh. They needed this type of win like old people need soft shoes behind Paul George, who they need his confidence up. 39-11-7 with the game winner. I thought they were rolling on all cylinders. And by the way, shout out to Russell Westbrook bringing that energy off the bench.
Well, let's head to a crazy finish in Dallas. Luka Doncic, look at him here, finds Dante Exum for a buzzer-beating three to force overtime the Mavs. They didn't look back the rest of the way. Kyrie dropped 48. Luka finished a rebound short of another 35-point triple-double. The Mavs have won 9 of 10. Ramona, they're the best backcourt in the NBA.
I think they are right now. I mean, the way that these two have been playing, I know it's sounds weird to compare them to Luka and Jalen Brunson, but that team went to the Western Conference Finals, and they've somewhat recreated that now with Kyrie in this role and finally getting shooters and perimeter defenders around them.
We're going to get back to them, but next stop is Phoenix, where Zion Williamson, he stepped the stat sheet, 27 points, 10 rebounds, 7 assists, and 5 blocks to help Pelicans
got up
snap a 4-game skid. Shanae Agumake, how confident are you that he can do this in his first playoffs?
Oh, I think he absolutely will. The number that stands out to me is that he's had 28 games with 20-plus paint points. That's wild. So he's eating the paint, as Perk likes to say. But more importantly, this Pelican squad, look at that squad, is going to be a tough out.
I absolutely agree with you. All right, let's finish where we started, right here in Los Angeles, because it was a doubleheader in Crypto.com Arena, and the Wolves, they got the best of the Lakers, who were without LeBron James, and they only got 12 minutes right from Anthony Davis before he left with an eye injury. Anthony Edwards, he had his 46th 25-point game of the year, one shy of Kevin Love's franchise record. But Ant wanted to talk about a different Wolves big man post-game.
Cat coming back.
Soon.
Cat will be back.
Ooh, soon Cat will be back, and that could be scary for the rest of the league, particularly when you look at how the race for the number one seed is stacking up. The Timberwolves, the Nuggets, they enter play Tuesday with identical records, both a game ahead of OKC. Denver hosts Minnesota on Wednesday on ESPN in a game that will go a long way toward deciding the top seed, especially since the Timberwolves are in a pretty good spot when you take a look at the tiebreakers. So Shanae Agumake, we just saw the jockey of those top three seeds in the Western Conference. When it's all said and done, who do you think takes the number one spot?
Look, if I would put money on it, I would put money on Denver, because if you look at their schedule, they have the easiest remaining with one asterisk being the Timberwolves. That matchup is going to be very fun on Wednesday, but they've still got the Jazz, the Spurs, and the Grizzlies. They can handle their business. Now, more importantly, I take a lot from their 32-point win versus the Hawks, where Jamal Murray came back and had 16-6 in 21 minutes. And after the game, Bogdan Bogdanovic said, yo, they have the best duo in basketball with the easiest schedule and an opportunity to play at home to seal the one seed. Give me Denver.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. However, I know you and I are both going to be tuned into that game Wednesday, because it could go so far in deciding who actually gets that number one spot. Okay, Shanae, go get some rest. You've worked hard. Round of applause. You have been excellent. But we're going to see you right here in studio tomorrow, sis, because it's not just us that need to gear up for the rest of this playoff push, right? There are plenty of things that are up for grabs in a crowded Western Conference, because according to BPI, there is a 98.4% chance that we're going to get a third chapter of the recent Clippers-Mavericks playoff rivalry, and I can't wait for that. But everyone else, just a game and a half separate the sixth seed Suns from the ninth seeded Lakers. And if the Warriors beat LA tomorrow, they would just be a half game back with the tiebreaker in hand and games against the Blazers and the Jazz, who aren't necessarily the most formidable teams in the NBA. That's what's remaining on their schedule. So you got all of that? Good, because Kendrick Perkins, even if these teams are not necessarily vying for the top spot in the West, it doesn't necessarily mean that they aren't a threat to come out of the conference. So you know what time it is. It is time for Big Perks, big list of threats in the rest of the West. Take it ahead, my friend. Take it away.
Malika, you know my grandpa used to always say, Big Perk, you're going places. And you know why? Because I'm so versatile. I know I would love to be in the studio when I'm doing this big list, but damn it, I could do it right here from the crib too. And this is Big Perk's big list of rest of the West threats, biggest threats. And at number five, I'm running it right here. Fire! Pull it up there. New Orleans Pelicans, baby. And why? Because Zion has figured it out. Zion has been dominating. I love this point, Zion, that we've been seeing over the last couple months. Not only being able to get his, but being able to contribute and get others involved. And then there's whispers out there that Brandon Ingram, he's been getting up shots. So he probably will be coming back soon. CJ McCollum, he's been balling out. We know what Murphy and those guys are going to do at the wing position. At number four, Malika, don't go too far. I'm throwing you up alive. I need you to go alley-oop and windmill it. Dunk it for me. Here we go.
Bam!
There we go. That's the energy. The Los Angeles Lakers. And I know I've been critical of the Los Angeles Lakers, but damn it, they've been balling out. They're not trash. They're about 10-plus games above 500 with the King leading the charge. And Anthony Davis, what he's been doing on both ends of the floor has been phenomenal. Arguably has been right under Jokic as far as the best big in the game today on both ends of the floor. I love what D'Angelo Russell is bringing to the table. I love what Austin Reeves has been doing as a facilitator along LeBron James. They just got Gabe Vincent back, so they're getting healthy. At number three, Ramona, you still in the studio? I don't hear
Let's
you.
Do it.
But
Let's
I need
do
your
it.
Energy, damn it. I know you went to a birthday party. Bring that same energy here on Big Perk List. Let me hear it.
Bam!
There go. I like it. The Phoenix Suns.
On that
Everybody
like
keep
that?
Talking about the eclipse today and they pulling out they sunshades. Well, pull them out now, damn it. Because Kevin Durant, Devin Booker has been balling. Nurkic, he's been anchoring that defense, cleaning up the glass like a fresh bottle of Windex. And I love what I've been seeing out of the bench. Bobo been giving some spot minutes there. We know Frank Vogel. He's a championship coach. He's a hell of a coach. It seemed like he got this locker room attention. They're going to be tough, especially with that big three that they have. Coming in at number two. Bam! Put it up there. Quick. We ain't going to waste too much time on it. The Clippers. The Clippers. Did you see Paul George last night? 39-11-7. Did you see James Harden with the quiet 22? Did you see the comeback against the Cleveland Cavaliers? They was down 20-plus. Look, P.J. Tucker has been a bright spot of what he brings defensively.
Yep.
Russell Westbrook, he looked like he's getting his legs back under him after returning from injury. This team still has great depth at all positions, and they're well coached by T. Lou. Malika, give me number one.
Oh, I get to do number one?
Give me number one.
Wow.
Bam! Give
Never
me number
do
one.
That
there you go. Put it up there. You know why? Because not only is Luka the most dangerous player in the Western Conference outside of Jokic, but him and Kyrie together are the most dangerous duo outside of Jokic and Murray. What they've been doing over the last month or since the All-Star break has been amazing. It's been a beautiful thing to see. I love the depth that they have as well. Getting P.J. Washington. He had a 30-plus the other night, wing dinner, all flats. I love what Gafford and Lively is doing. Tim Hardaway Jr., he just came back from injury. He's been balling. And guess what? The head of the snake and Jason Kidd, he could coach his behind off. So, again, this is Big Perk List. Damn it, I'm sweating in the house because I've been sweating in the studio. The lights are bright. You know what I mean? So carry on.
Kendrick? I mean, the sun may be gone, but you clearly
are freestyling
are
all that.
Wedding
freestyling.
Wow.
Old people need soft shoes.
Yeah. I'm with the Mavs at number one, though. I kind of like that. The Mavs at number one. All right. Mm-hmm. Coming up next, though, on NBA Today, someone get Perk a towel. It all goes down tonight between two Goliaths. But which potential lottery pick has a higher ceiling, Zach Edey or Donovan Klingon? We tell you on the other side.
Wednesday, the Mavs face the Heat with the major playoff seeding on the line. Catch NBA Unplugged with me, Kevin Hart, as I kick it with celebrity guests throughout the game. If I was there, I would hit you, bro. Yeah, breaking it down like only I can. It's the NBA Unplugged with Kevin Hart. 7:30 p.m. Eastern on ESPN2 and ESPN app.
Wednesday night on ABC, Brittany Griner, for the first time since being released from a Russian prison, shares her story.
You've been told to go through your bag, and you felt...
Felt the cartridge.
What were you thinking at that moment when you felt that?
My life is over right here.
Her sentence.
Just been told you're going to be 9 years in one of the worst prisons in Russia.
I was just so scared for everything, because there's just so much unknown.
Brittany Griner, Robin Roberts, Prisoner in Russia. Wednesday night at 10, 9 central on ABC.
Well, at least it went out with a bang.
Bang! It went out with a bang!
Mike Breen?
You said bang. That's my line.
Well, I meant more of like an electrical fire bang.
Like this?
Bang! No, like bang! 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 That's a pretty good bang. But what are we going to do about this bang?
Oh, you don't need a catchphrase. You need a jingle. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
State Farm is here to help.
Bang! He really went out with a bang.
The NBA on ESPN, presented by State Farm.
This game's what we've been talking about all year. It's the reason I came back is playing games like these.
One more step down Redemption Road. The Boilermakers are in the title game for the first time since 1969.
Everyone came to UConn to try to be a part of history, and you know, we're one step closer to our goal.
Three lottery picks will be showcasing their talent tonight in the NCAA men's title game. UConn center Donovan Klingon is third in ESPN's latest mock draft, while the big man counterpart Zach Edey is at the end of the lottery at 13th after his dominant tournament run. So now we say hello to our NBA draft analyst, Jonathan Gavoni. Jonathan, Zach Edey, currently 13th in your list of top 25 prospects to watch, which is a far cry from the conversations we were having last summer. How has his play throughout the tournament impacted how he may be drafted here?
Malika, Zach Edey is one of the most dominant players in college basketball history. He's been a polarizing player for NBA scouts all 4 years at Purdue, but he's really starting to grow on people, and there's an increasing faction of NBA teams who are asking themselves, could this guy end up being one of the five most impactful players in this draft? He's lighting up their analytic models, just what he's doing from a productivity standpoint. We have to remember, he's only 21 years old. He's been playing basketball seriously for about 6 years now. Right. This guy has legitimate upside. We see what he's done with his body, his mobility. He's become a much better defender and passer. He might have to score 40 points tonight for Purdue to have a chance, but I wouldn't put it past him.
Right. Since you mentioned Purdue's opponents, let's take a look at UConn, because Donovan Klingon continues to just steadily rise up ESPN's draft board. Why is that?
Malika, he started off the season with a lot of injuries. He had foot issues. He didn't look healthy. His conditioning wasn't great. But as the year has moved on, Donovan Klingon has gotten stronger and stronger. And he's played the best basketball of his career here in the NCAA tournament. What he did last week in the Elite Eight against Illinois was incredible. 22 points and 10 rebounds in 22 minutes. But it was really his defense that, you know, is starting to make NBA teams think, this guy could be another version of Rudy Gobert. He plays incredibly hard. He's very mobile, stepping out to the perimeter. He's a multiple effort defender around the basket. And he's just impossible to score on with his 7'7 wingspan.
Well, scouts are going to get another opportunity to take a look at both of these guys tonight in the title game. Jonathan Givony, thank you so much for stopping by NBA Today. We're going to be seeing a whole lot of you as we march toward the draft in June. But now we're going to go from college to the pros, and we're going to do that with a little bit of this, a little bit of that. Well, we're going to get to choose which clip, which highlight we enjoyed more. Really, this is like picking between your children because they're both excellent. We're going to start, though, with Luka Doncic because Kendrick Perkins, which Luka pregame shenanigans are you taking? Last night he did this kick alley-oop sort of thing, or we had last week off the jumbotron. Oh, yeah. Just insane.
Give me that. Give me that. Give me that off the big jumbotron thing. Give me that. The kick alley-oop, that was pretty impressive. But to do that right there, that's different.
I said last week,
Luka,
but it was last
night. Game. That's the crazy part.
The eclipse is messing with me. That's off the jumbotron. Do you have any idea how high that is? All right, let's go to the Mavs, who they were playing last night, the Rockets. Forward Dylan Brooks, no stranger to matching up with Dallas duos. But Ramona, which ankle breaker on Brooks was better, is Luka's or Kyrie's?
I mean, I got to go with this Kyrie. I mean, I always like a little man going against a bigger man. And Kyrie turned him around like 2-3 times. There's one, there's two, there's three.
Oh. I mean, he tried to stay with him. He tried to stay with him. He didn't, well, oh, man.
I mean.
Luka there, though. That was pretty good.
But, like, that was more just about the pass. Yeah, Kyrie was back and forth and back and forth.
Yeah. All right, we're going to continue with the Texas two-step in San Antonio. Wemby doing Wemby-like things. Or should I say, actually, this one in particular was Steph-like things. Check out that three-pointer with the look away.
Oh, my gosh. Come on, Vic.
Oof. And then.
Wow.
Right, through the lane, left-handed dunk. Which one are you guys taking on that?
give me the left-handed dunk because it didn't look real. Like, the look away, I could see that happening a lot, but look, that left-handed dunk in traffic is nowhere in here I would have thought he was going to dunk.
Both insane. All right, before we bounce, April, it is Autism Acceptance Month, so to show support, Utah Jazz assistant coach Scott Morrison organized a campaign for NBA head coaches to wear customized Nike Air Force Ones, and for Morrison, this really is personal. His 4-year-old son, Max, was diagnosed with autism in 2022, and every pair of these special shoes has been painted with each NBA team's colors and a rainbow infinity symbol, which represents neurodiversity. And over the past week, we've seen Greg Popovich, Joe Mazzulla, other head coaches wear these shoes and spread this incredibly important message. Still to come on NBA Today, it may be the total solar eclipse, but it's been a total eclipse of the rim all year, thanks to Victor Wembanyama and company. Best blocks of the year coming up next.
NBA Today is presented by ESPN Bet, the official sports book of ESPN.
Like the solar eclipse. Don't look directly at it.
That could have been an eclipse right there. It goes away quick, too, just like a solar eclipse.
It's an eclipse. That's what it is.
The eclipse is out and about tonight.
This has been an absolute solar eclipse.
You understand how this size might block out the sun.
It's a rarity.
Well, the New York Knicks are making sure that they do not add retina injuries to their injury report here. Don't worry, Knicks Twitter. Making sure, having some jokes with Woj here, and Jalen Brunson replies, guys, we got you, with that photo of the Nova Knicks, making sure they're appropriately taking a look today at the solar eclipse. And while we're talking about blocking out the sun, blocking eclipse, see what we're doing here, we're going to check out a little top of the top, best eclipse or best blocks of the season. It's brought to you by PetSmart. So we're going to start, of course, with top Victor Wembanyama, because who else can eclipse like he does? We're going to start with him on Giannis, tracking him down. Giannis ain't used to that.
I mean, he could have hurt his shoulder with this block.
Doesn't happen very often that you see Giannis block there. And then look at him tracking, looking, squaring up Anthony Simons and rejecting it. Oh, my.
Just the length and the
goodness.
Up. Oh, my God.
Oh, and then Jabari Smith Jr., ooh, meets him at the rim.
Oh, he thought he was going to play on a poster.
No, sir.
It is the opposite.
No, sir. Oh. And then let's go ahead to top chase down blocks here. You know, if we're talking chase downs, we need to talk about the king of the chase down, LeBron James.
I mean, this is going to be in his all-time highlight reel from the finals, and then he just keeps adding to it every year.
Every single year. And then Brandon Miller jumps before he even gets a shot up there.
I mean, I can't even describe how it feels to think that you have a wide-open layup and have no idea where the block came.
This might have been the block of the year. It really might have been the block of the year.
It probably is, yeah.
The eclipse should now just be
hit his head on the rim.
Yeah. Saves the day in Indianapolis, seals the game for them. And then some emphasis here, Cole Anthony. Ooh.
That was nice. Kept it in bounds, too.
With the left? All right. And then Lauri Markkanen meets Booker at the rim. When our producer
about
is a Jazz fan,
too. You
can't forget about them. They're seared into my mind, like looking at the eclipse without sunglasses on. Zion Williamson locks it into the seats there. All right, Perk, stay with me here because we're going to go with the theme of the eclipse. I like these glasses, I think, a little bit too much, but I can't actually see anything in the studio when I put them on. So we're going to take a look at the Western Conference standings. Which team is going to get eclipsed by the team behind them before it's all said and done?
I'm looking at this matchup between the Nuggets and Timberwolves that is on Wednesday. The last time they matched up, the Timberwolves got the best of the Nuggets. The Nuggets are going to return the favor, and they're going to be the number one seed in the Western Conference. They have the easiest schedule remaining for teams that I know for sure they're going to beat. We heard Jamal Murray talk about after the post game in his post game interview that they're going for the number one seed, as they should.
Right.
The Nuggets are going to eclipse the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Yeah, the Timberwolves want it. Ooh, listening to them talk post-game yesterday, chatting with Anthony Edwards, with Chris Finch, they want it. They are going for it.
But also remember, Denver, they have a tiebreaker.
Yeah, seeing Denver in Denver, though, on the second night of a back-to-back, even if the first game is against the Washington Wizards, that is a tough back-to-back. All right, I'm putting on my glasses, and we're checking out the Eastern Conference now. We're going to see, as we look at the Eastern standings, Ramona, is there a team that will eclipse the team in front of them?
You know, I want to say the Orlando Magic can get up there, but I feel like the Bucks are going to knuckle down when they have to. I know they have two games against each other, so I think I'm going to say the 76ers are going to get up into that sixth spot. They have a pretty easy remaining schedule, and I think, like, when you look at their last few games, they can win that, and they're on one now that they have Joel Embiid back.
I'm curious, Perk, the Knicks, do you see them staying where they're at? You're the mayor of New York.
Absolutely. Absolutely not. The Milwaukee Bucks better be careful, because we're talking about the Orlando Magic. Listen, the Knicks are going to finish third, okay? You could bet that. But if they happen to finish second, now we're talking about a different type of style of the eclipse, because now we're talking about on the individual's status. Jalen Brunson moving up in the MVP conversation, eclipsing somebody that's at the top. He's already top five in the conversation. But if the Knicks happen to finish number two, because I believe they're going to finish number three, then we having a whole different type of conversation. We need to run this back. Did you see them last night?
Yeah. I mean, look at the Magic and the Knicks with identical records there. Of course, the Magic just holding the slight edge over New York right now. The Celtics, we know, are cemented with a 15-game lead. I just have to keep laughing. That's how much head and shoulders better they have been than the rest of the conference. So no one is going to eclipse
Boston. They're so far in front, Perk forgot they were on the
Perk was like, I'm not even considering that when we're talking about that. All right, that is going to do it for us here on NBA Today. Thank you so much for spending some of your afternoon with us. Enjoy the men's title game tonight, and we will see you tomorrow.
Wednesday night on ABC, Brittany Griner, for the first time since being released from a Russian prison, shares her story.
You've been told to go through your bag, and you felt...
Built the cartridge.
What were you thinking that moment when you felt that?
My life is over right here.
Her sentence.
Just been told you're going to be 9 years in one of the worst prisons in Russia.
I was just so scared for everything, because there's just so much unknown.
Brittany Griner, Robin Roberts, Prisoner in Russia. Wednesday night at 10, 9 central on ABC.